The future of elderly care, the drink banned from Perth schools, and Peter Bowl cleared. It's Wednesday, the 29th of March.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you too. And now, a Dan Murphy's in Kwinana has been knocked over.
Yes, some breaking news on this one. A 29-year-old man from Kelmscott has been charged with aggravated robbery over this. What's happened? Police say two offenders have gone into the Dan Murphy's in Kwinana and taken drinks from inside. They've then tried to flee. A security guard has confronted them, and they say that a customer also joined in, and a customer has suffered a chipped tooth in this ordeal after trying to help. So this morning we have one man charged, this 29-year-old from Kelmscott. Another man is still on the run and a customer with a chipped tooth.
Yeah, I feel bad for that good Samaritan who tried to step in. I reckon if you're going to rob a Dan Murphy's, if you go down to Kwinana, places like that, I reckon there's always a chance that a customer is going to step up to you. If you did the same thing in the Dan Murphy's in Subiaco, if there's one there.
Customer wouldn't join in?
No, would not join in.
Just salt of the earth.
Yeah, they are. Well, I wonder what sort of booze they were stealing.
Cans, apparently.
Yeah, Jim Beam and Coke.
I don't know. I don't want to cast aspersions on people who
craft
drink
beer is quite
things.
Expensive.
Is that
these
what you
days?
Drink? Yeah.
No, craft beer is like
what
a
are
case
you
of,
into those white claw seltzer things?
The white claw. No. We've got a story about drinks coming up, though, that I'm also not really into. And now, this is a fascinating story that's come from the Health Minister, Amber Jade Sanderson, who's got a plan to deal with ambulance ramping.
Yeah, this all stems from a ministerial task force that she set up. So what's going to happen is aged care residents who become unwell will be consulted virtually before an ambulance is called. The health minister says half of WA's ramping hours are among patients aged 70 and over, and the vast majority are coming from aged care facilities. Mm. So what happens is someone in an aged care facility feels unwell. The health minister says that the staff are either not empowered enough or not skilled enough to make an assessment, so they just call an ambulance. And so we end up with all these ambulances at emergency departments and the ramping situation. So what they're going to do is have a 24/7 hotline so those aged care facilities and residents can call in, be triaged by a consultant and a registered nurse, and then the decision will be made whether to call an ambulance or whether to send that person straight to a ward, whether to send a doctor out to the facility. So basically, it's more of a tailored approach rather than a one-size-fits-all, let's get an ambulance, send them in.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Of course, you always do.
I think anything is better than nothing when it comes to fixing ambulance ramping. But the issue with medical helplines is they take a zero-risk approach, right? So if you've ever called one because your kid's been sick at home and you say, look, this kid's got a bit of a temperature, is it worth going to the hospital?
Go to PCH.
They always say, go to the hospital.
Now, the minister has addressed this because she says this is not Health Direct, because that is what Health Direct does. Yeah. They kind of, as a parent, put the doubt in your mind, and then if you don't end up going to hospital, you feel like the worst person ever.
So it's not going to be like that.
No. She says it's not going to be like that. It's a tailored approach. If they think, a person is in a life-threatening situation, of course, they'll call an ambulance.
Is it so impossible to believe that with this new system of virtual consultations, they'll say, no, you don't need to go to the hospital. Some poor person in an aged care home croaks it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's only going to take one case.
It's only going to take one.
It's going to start in the northern suburbs and eastern suburbs first, which makes me think that they'll then be able to compare the figures of how it's going.
Well, let's wait and see.
And especially this is important for winter, because what happens is flu season, you end up with lots of presentations, and that's when the ramping problem gets really bad.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see and keep our fingers crossed. Now, Peter Bowl has been cleared by two independent laboratories of ever using the banned substance EPO, which is pretty good news for the Perth 800-metre runner.
Yeah, and this has come from his US-based lawyer, Paul Green. He's described it as a catastrophic blunder from Sports Integrity Australia. Bowl's legal team has fired off a letter to Sports Integrity Australia demanding that their ongoing investigation of the 800-metre runner be brought to an end. So the letter includes sensational claims. The expert analysis of Bowl's urine sample from October last year never showed the presence of a synthetic EPO, and that inexperience and incompetence at the Australian Sports Drug Testing Laboratory led to an incorrect determination of his positive A sample. Now, of course, the B sample came back as atypical, and now his lawyer's saying two independent laboratories have now cleared Bolt. So it'd be interesting to see what Sports Integrity Australia has to say about this today.
Well, if this proves to be right, don't you think he has grounds to sue? Like, his reputation has been absolutely hammered by this. Even though, you know, like, he innocent till proven guilty and all the rest of it, like, you know, a bit of mud sticks. That's the reality when it comes to drugs in sport.
I want to know what the incompetence was, what the inexperience was, what's actually happened, to be able to return a positive sample.
Yeah, and then, I know, more to be told in this story.
Is it as simple as, like, a COVID test where it's, like, two lines or a pregnancy test? Like, what's gone wrong here?
I assume you just, like, put a bit of reagents together in a test tube, give it a swizzle, away you go.
And is a swizzle the official term?
I'm pretty sure that's how they make prime energy drinks and prime hydration drinks. Who
bit
knows?
Of a swizzle.
So you would have been following this, right?
Following this. I'm an older person, though, these days.
Yeah, so it's quite bizarre for people of a certain age, because these drinks that have come from America and promoted by YouTube sensation and WWE wrestler Logan Paul, Prime Hydration, Prime Energy. Prime Energy is an interesting one that we haven't spoken too much about in Australia. It has the same amount of caffeine as 2.5 cans of Red Bull.
Okay.
Cans of Coke or something like that. And it's in America, it's banned for people under 18. Under 18s can't drink it. And the hydration, I don't know what's in that one, but kids under 15 are not supposed to be drinking it. It says so on the label. Despite that, we saw chaotic scenes on the weekend as youngsters raced to the supermarket.
Yeah, they're racing to get hydrated.
Oh, they're selling it at Woolworths. And the retail
is this
price.
The power of marketing,
right? It's TikTok. And the retail price of these things is $4.50 per bottle, but people are selling it on Facebook Marketplace in Perth for as much as $20 each. Kids drinking half of it. It probably doesn't taste that great. They're selling it to their mates for $10 a bottle, half drunk, because the kids don't actually want to drink it. No one wants to drink it. They just want to pose for a photo, and they don't care if the bottle's empty or not, that they can then share on their social spaces, and hopefully Logan Paul will retweet it or repost it or whatever. That's what it's all about, that sort of craziness. But now Perth primary schools have written to parents warning them that the drink is banned from school grounds, including the school that our kids go to, Maddie.
Thank you. I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, it's true.
Was that on Seesaw or Compass,
It did. So our principal has banned it. And also, from what I hear, one of the kids in my daughter's year actually brought a bottle of it to school. There you go.
Maybe just stick to the water. If you want to hydrate, water, guys.
I know.
It's free out of the tap.
I do like a vitamin water, but it's different. Australian unions so there's a ruckus over AUKUS.
Okay.
Because the Australian unions have restated their position in favour of a nuclear-free defence policy, which has created a headache for the Albanese Labor government over the $368 billion AUKUS nuclear submarine acquisition. So the Australian Council of Trade Unions president, Michelle O'Neill, said that she's not really that into nuclear-powered submarines. They've had a long-standing policy in opposition to nuclear power going back decades, this new submarine deal is not going to change that. And the opposition has jumped on the comments, saying that it sends a confusing signal for Labor. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes next.
How can the opposition jump on them when the opposition was the one who started it all? Can I just say that the Australian unions might be a couple of weeks too late in their response?
Right? I know.
How many meetings did they have to have before they had this position? Well, like, if they've always had this nuclear-free position, why did they not come out straight away?
Well, Michelle O'Neill was at the National Press Club and I think was asked about it. So, and that's when sometimes these things come out. And now, I don't know how closely you've been following this. It came as news to me. The extent of the bushfires that are happening in the Northern Territory at the moment. So large fires west of Alice Springs through the Chiricha West MacDonald National Park have devastated what conservationists say is a nationally significant environmental region. And so it's interesting what's been the cause of this, though, right? So there's been an extremely hot month of March, which has followed 3 years of above average rainfall, which has caused the rampant growth of an invasive grass species, bufflegrass, right? Which was introduced by pastoralists as fodder for their cattle. And now it's spread, and now like wildfire, the bushfire has burnt this bufflegrass, which burns hotter and causes more frequent fires than the native grasses. In other states, it's been declared a weed officially, and there's management plans. That isn't the case in the Northern Territory. And now locals are saying, well, why have we allowed this to happen? This buffel grass situation has caused this huge problem, devastating endangered species and of fauna and flora in the area. And so now the NT government is forced to take a bit of a look at it.
Oh, do we have buffel grass here?
Don't know. Good question,
interesting.
Though.
Okay, we'll look into it. Sport.
And this has been a fascinating story. The challenge to get Ashley Sampey finally awarded a retrospective Glendinning Allan Medal. Now, did you hear how this came about? So he was voted the best on ground by a panel of five appointed judges in the opening derby of 2003. But then Ross Glendinning has just got up there and presented the medal to Michael Gardner instead, under the belief that he had the power to do
to make
so.
His own decision.
And it's the first time in the history of the award that the person who was voted by the panel didn't get it. And so now, with the 20th anniversary of that game approaching, the West Coast Eagles and the West Australian and other people in the community have been pushing for Sampey to get his long-awaited medal. I reckon he might, you know.
Oh, he probably deserves it. It feels a little bit like that Next Top Model announcement, you know, when they got it.
and when Marissa Tomei won the Oscar.
The Wild West.
And now, Maddie, the peacocks are revolting in Bunbury.
Yes, I mean, you'd think in WA, you know, you've got sharks, you've got snakes, there are a lot of things that could kill you. But a peacock has attacked a three-year-old kid in Bunbury at a wildlife park, and not just any peacock, a vicious male peacock. So little Ryder was trying to feed said peacock when the peacock clawed at his face.
That's horrible.
Luckily, this missed his eye.
Jeez.
So authorities say it's the second time the peacock has attacked this month. Second time in a month.
Yeah.
So the bird has now been banished from the park.
But they've just released it into the wild, like
told.
That cocaine bear from the movie?
I don't know what banished means. I can't tell you what's happened to the peacock more than to say that it has
maybe
been banished.
Maybe sent it to the farm.
Potentially.
Yeah. Well, maybe rightly so. And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, March 29. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. PETA, Animal Welfare Organisation, do not email me about that last comment. And Maddie, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Have a good one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
The greatest farmer wants a wife there has ever been.
I believe there's someone out there for everyone.
For the first time, every farmer will find real love.
You call my wife straight away.
Do you need glasses?
He is so handsome. I could look at him all day.
The most romantic season ever.
I've fallen so deeply in love with you.
New Farmer Wants a Wife starts Easter Monday on 7 and 7 Plus.